5. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love this scripture because it reminds me of Yoda and Star Wars, and I love Yoda and Star Wars. Now, the quote from Yoda, I think, is the opposite of what Paul is saying. Does anybody remember what Yoda said to Luke Skywalker? He was talking to Luke, and he says, fear leads to the path of the dark side, because fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. That's my Yoda accent. Fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. And here Paul, I don't know if he starts there. Of course he wrote before Yoda. But I don't know if he starts there or if he's giving the opposite. He says, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And so it's sort of this juxtaposition, this back and forth, that I hear Yoda's words leading down the dark side and leading to that suffering. And Paul picks up with our sufferings that we can boast in, because down the line they lead to hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And I think that's beautiful. But what do we do with this? Part of the reason I chose this passage for today, it is in the lectionary, but usually I go with the gospel. I chose this epistle writing because last week we got into Paul's argument of being justified by faith. Were you here last week? Do you remember that? It was a whole week ago. I slept since then, you know. So perhaps you do not remember, but we'll go back over it a little bit. And in the sermon last week, I was leaning away from Paul a little bit, or more specifically, leaning away from the interpretation of Paul's argument. Paul's argument is actually quite good. It is essentially that we are justified by faith. We are made right with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is because there is nothing that we can do to earn God's love and grace and mercy. There's nothing that we can do in order to receive those things from God. God already loves us. God has already sent Christ. Christ has already died for the forgiveness of our sins. That is already done. We receive it when we believe in Jesus. And that faith in Christ and what God has done through Christ is the thing that brings us to God. And all throughout Romans, at these first few chapters, Paul sets himself squarely in the tradition of his people. Squarely in the tradition of the Jewish faith, he begins with many of these arguments about how we got here. That Adam, you remember Adam? What book of the Bible was Adam from? Genesis. Yeah, if you didn't already know, I was at camp last week, and so, you know, I asked questions and the kids answered. So I'm still in that mode, so I might be asking some questions, okay? Adam's in what book? Genesis, right? And so in that creation story, Adam eats from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and receives this knowledge after God has specifically asked Adam not to do these things. And so Paul points out that sin has entered humanity, entered the world, and with that sin, death has come through the single actions of a single man, who is Adam. And so Adam has brought this sin and this death through all of humanity. And just as sin and death entered humanity and entered the world through the actions of one man, through Adam, in the actions of a single man who is Christ Jesus, the complete opposite takes hold. Sin has entered through Adam. Grace and mercy and love and our justification to God enters the world through Christ. That's pretty good. Paul is a pretty smart guy. I like that. Paul also gets into the law with Abraham. Do you remember Abraham? He had many sons. Had many sons, had Father Abraham. Sorry, I was at camp. I told you guys. I'm excited. Father Abraham, this was the first individual that God has chosen and created a covenant with. Abraham, you're going to have many descendants. Many descendants who will be my people. I will bless them and give them this land. Now, do you remember what Abraham did in order to receive this blessing and this covenant from God? Faith. That's right. He didn't do nothing. He simply had faith that God would do the things that God said God was going to do. Abraham did nothing but believed. He's blessed by God because of his faith. The covenant of God to the people comes through Abraham's faith. And there's nothing that they can do. It is simply God's godness. God, who God is, that makes this happen. God says so, and so it begins. He also gets into Moses. He says, well, apart from the law, there is no sin. Which as a kid, I think I loved, right? If nobody tells you what the rules are, you can't break them, right? And so this was part of what we got into last week, that the Paul's arguments were getting into. If there's no works or nothing we can do to earn or to lose God's faith, then the things that we do don't matter. Paul's extending that to those outside of the law. If they don't have the law, there's nothing to say what is right and what is wrong. But yet those folks still experience death. So while the law points out what is and what is not a sin and gives us a guide and a post to shoot for, even those without the law still experience death. But even so, God has given the law to the people and given them an opportunity to try to justify themselves. God has set the goalpost for these folks to try to earn their justification. Nobody's able to do it. No one as a human is capable of fulfilling what the law requires and justifying themselves back to God. But here's the beauty of it. God still wants relationship with the people. God still desires and longs for that relationship, for our reconciliation to God. So God says, well, if y'all can't do it, I'm going to do it. Since you're incapable of bringing yourselves to me, I'm going to go to you. And Paul says this is the entire purpose of Christ's life and his death and his resurrection. God was so tired of watching us fumble around, incapable of bringing ourselves into right relationship with God, that God said, I'm going to do it. And through Christ's death, for all who believe, we are brought to justification, brought to reconciliation, and capable of having that relationship with God. And then we get to our scripture. Paul says, since that is all the case, since we are brought to God in our faith through who Christ is, we have nothing to worry about. We have this peace that comes with knowing God is who God is and God does what God says he's going to do. And God has brought us to himself through Christ Jesus. We can have the peace that that is what is going to happen. We've already obtained this access to this grace. And so we can boast in it. And now we get to go back and look at the context of what these Roman Christians were experiencing. Because Paul talks about disappointment. And probably a better translation is shame. These folks were experiencing some political and social shame. Now, at the time that Paul is writing, the Christians haven't experienced that persecution specifically from the Romans yet. Okay, you've seen the gladiator stuff, right? They put them in the Colosseum and they got to fight the lions with their swords and stuff. That's not quite happened yet at the time that Paul is writing. But the Romans have kicked the Jews out of Rome. All who believed and followed and worshipped Yahweh were kicked out of Rome for not worshipping their own Roman pantheon of gods. And of course, at this point, still the Christians considered themselves Jewish as well. They were just Jewish worshipping Jesus, specifically the Messiah. Okay? So the Romans have kicked these Jews out of their synagogues, kicked them out of their homes, kicked them out of their work guilds. They have completely ostracized them from the society and the community. And for an ancient Roman society, this was a deeply shameful thing. They had no access to anything. Their opportunities to work and make money to provide for their families, their homes, their relationships, their families often were completely cut off from them. This is a deep hurt and a shame. Paul says, all of those things that have happened because of who we believe in, we are experiencing these things because of our faith in Christ as these Jewish folks. We can still boast and celebrate in that suffering, in that experience of being cut off from this society and this world. We still boast in that because we're doing what God would have us to do. Our faith in God is what has brought this persecution upon us. That is what Christ wants. We are trying to build a world where all are equal. Paul's the one that says there's no distinction between male or female, slave or master. That's Paul. Paul is saying we are trying to do these things, and because it is turning over your apple cart the way that God intended it to, you're upset with us. You're kicking us out because we're doing what God has called us to do. You also killed Jesus because he was doing the same thing. And our faith tells us that God raised the Jesus from the dead. So kick us out, kill us from our societal places, and God will raise us up. This is the hope that your suffering brings to us. We know that in the suffering that you try to bring upon us, it's going to produce endurance. That endurance of providing through these things is going to produce character. That character will bring us hope, and God does not disappoint us. Our hope in God will never let us down. It will never bring us the shame that you are trying to bring upon us. This is the real message that Paul is trying to get at. Oftentimes in our society, we take our faith too personally. Have anybody ever heard somebody say, no pain, no gain? You guys say that at the exercise group on Monday and Thursdays? No? Gym bro culture, right? The pain lets you know it's working. I think that's a Listerine commercial. Our suffering, some people like to take these passages and say, our suffering is from God. This suffering, these things, we need to endure it and embrace it because it builds endurance and character and hope. Let us embrace our suffering, these things that ail us. And it's too small, too personal. And I told you the two important people in my life have experienced the death of their fathers this week. I can't imagine in the depth of that suffering telling my friend or my mom, well, this suffering you're experiencing will produce hope if you can just endure it. Build a little character. Someone who's just lost a child or gotten a cancer diagnosis. Well, this is bad suffering, but God wants you to build a little hope and endurance and character. That's too small. That's too painful. Paul's not talking about the individual believer. Paul's talking about us as a community, as a group. Do we stand together being ostracized? Do we do what God would call us to do, even if it brings suffering and hatred from the outside community? I began with Yoda because I'm afraid that what Yoda is speaking on has taken hold. We're afraid. There's a lot to be afraid of. I spoke in my prayer of the news. I was at camp. My co-counselor has a friend stationed in the Middle East. So he's really worried about these bombings in Iran and the drone attacks back and forth. Fearful. We're afraid of people that look different than us. Immigrants, trans people. There's a lot of fear. This camp that I was just at was created to be Me Camp. It's a camp for eighth graders who are experiencing the changes of puberty. Can you imagine going through puberty without any guidance or help? Maybe some of y'all did. There's a lot of fear in the unknown. Part of this camp deals with that fear by giving these kids knowledge. Knowledge is the antithesis of fear. We can live into that fear of the other and allow it to deepen and fester into anger. There's a lot of anger in the news too, isn't there? And we can allow that anger to turn into hatred. And we can take that hatred and cause suffering to others. I'm afraid that too much hatred and anger and suffering is being done in our culture, in our world. That's what's happening out there. That fear that is given and allowed to fester and utilized by people that seek power. We're called to be God's people. We're called to see the suffering of others, to support them, to offer them forgiveness and grace and mercy and acceptance, to love them no matter what. And that hatred out there might bring more suffering to us, but God has called us to do this. God has called us to reach out to the lost and the weary. We're called to be God's people, to fight those fears and anger. And no matter what it brings from the outside, we are supposed to have that hope. Because God's hope does not disappoint us. So let's live into it. Let us be hopeful. Amen.